The next question that they posed at some time or other in our Lord's life, and as Mark is gathering them all here in one place, he puts this one as well. Some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him and put this question to him. Master, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died, leaving no descendant. So the second married her and died, leaving no descendants, and the third likewise. And the seven left no descendants. Last of all, the woman also died. At the resurrection, when they arise, whose wife will she be? Jesus answered, are you not misled because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? You don't know what the word of God is saying, and you don't understand God's power in transforming human beings into something so glorious forever. So, now, the Sadducees only accepted the authority of the Torah, the first five books. They thought the rest was very beautiful and very helpful, but authority only in the Torah. So our Lord now in his gentleness is going to argue from the Torah to win them over. And so are you not misled because you do not know the scriptures? Nice saying that to these fellows. Or the power of God. When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. So your question is beside the point. Nobody gets married. As for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses? That's the only book they accept, the Torah. So he's going to argue from the Torah out of kindness to them, you see? How God told him, Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So if he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then they're alive, and they're alive. Not just to their spirit. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're human beings with bodies. So they arise, or he couldn't be their God. You are greatly misled. That's the way he answers that question. Now, another one of the scribes comes up and says, now, which is the first of all the commandments? Now, that was a sort of a thing they all did. They had phrases like, recite the whole Torah while you stand on one foot. How can you sum it all up, you see? So this scribe is saying to Jesus, well, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, the Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater than these. So that's the greatest commandment. See, it's like this, the second one, you see? So the scribe, the theologian says, well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he, and to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offering and sacrifice. That's beautiful. So when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Then Mark gives us one more, which I'm going to abbreviate, confrontation with these Sadducees who only hold for the Torah. But now this one, he's a theologian, but he has a broader, he accepts the whole Torah and the whole of the whole scriptures too. So, because now our Lord is going to argue from a psalm. How do the scribes claim that the Messiah is the son of David, when David himself, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, the Lord, Adonai, said to my Lord, that is the Messiah. So if he's saying the Messiah is my Lord, how is he his son? Sit at my right hand until I place your enemy under your feet. David calls him Lord. So how is he his son? The great crowd heard with delight. They love this kind of thing. What about this one? You see, that David's son, that's not in the, everybody says that the Messiah is David's son, but it's not found in the Torah. You see, it's found in the psalm. And so they're all excited. And then finally, the last thing of this section is the widow with her little coins. They all came and put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, Amen, I tell you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury, blowing the trumpet and putting in $5,000 check or whatever they were doing. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she has. And so you can give to the Lord from your surplus or from your substance. And the Lord is saying, I want you to give from your substance, from who you are, and not just write me out a check for $10,000 so that this university can build a new gym. That's nice. But what I want from you is the depth of your heart. And that's this poor widow. So that ends that whole confrontation. And we're going to move on now in another talk about the destruction of the temple.